Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Would y'all welcome Martha Yellow.
Good morning. I think I'm going to step up because I'm a lot shorter than Brother Cal. Well, good morning. It's great to be here with you today. The sun is shining and God is on his throne. Amen. Amen. Well, I so appreciated that phrase that you uttered just a minute ago, that we're here to make much of Jesus. And I want to start with that. Sometimes I come and speak and I feel like I have my hand out because we're so desperate for the pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters that y'all will collect in these baby bottles. And we're not desperate. Praise the Lord. We are grateful for you and for your partnership, and the funds that will come in through these baby bottles will be a blessing to many. But I'm so excited to tell you that we start 2022 in a place of strength, financially, ministry-wise, and in many other ways, and we praise God for that. So we love to celebrate with our friends and not just beg from them. So it's great to do that. In particular, knowing that y'all are part of the Southern Baptist Convention, as you mentioned a minute ago, this fall, we were excited to learn that through the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, Hope Pregnancy Center has been awarded with a brand new ultrasound machine. Yeah. Which is so awesome. We have actually two ultrasound machines, one of which was reaching that point in its life where it was going to make sense for us to raise some money and buy a new one, and we found out about this opportunity. And not only will we receive that ultrasound machine in the next month or so, but training for our brand new nurse manager, who has not yet been trained to do ultrasound scans. She'll be trained, and so that will add another nurse to our team that's doing ultrasounds. Praise the Lord. Ultrasound is one of the most powerful tools that we have in our toolbox to speak life, to show the miracle of life, something that 100 years ago only God could see in the womb. Isn't that amazing? I marvel at that all the time. I don't have a lot to do with direct client contact, but once in a while I get to observe one of those ultrasounds, and it never ceases to amaze me how miraculous that is to see that child in the womb, sometimes jumping around, sometimes waving at you, sometimes just laying there peaceful. But it's so powerful for a woman, a couple, to see their baby, not just a picture of a baby, but their baby, and to bond with it in that special moment. Last year, at least 111 women found themselves in that situation, seeing their child on the screen and choosing life for that child that was at risk for abortion. Amen. I want to share just a couple developments and a couple of needs that we have. As I mentioned, we're starting the year from a place of strength, but one area where we could really use your help is with volunteers. We are short of our client advocates. We've had many that have had to go on to other things during the pandemic. I usually say that we've lost a lot during the pandemic, and then I think, oh wait, no, nobody died. But I need you to know that that's not what happened, but they've had other things come up and responsibilities. And so we have a training coming up in March where we are asking specifically women to join us as client advocates. That's the person who sits across from the young lady that comes in and just talks through their situation and learns a little bit about what's going on and just shares hope with them, the hope of life and the hope of Christ. When I first started to volunteer in a center 30 years ago, I was terrified to do that counseling thing, that client advocacy thing. And what I learned quickly was that it's mostly about listening, and it's mostly about just giving people something a little different to think about. And the Holy Spirit does the work. So if that speaks to you at all, I'd love to talk to you about it. I have some flyers in the back about our training. And gentlemen, you are not off the hook. We are very excited to have two men who are working on starting a men's ministry where we would offer some classes and maybe a small group for some of the dads that come in. We have a lot of dads that come in, and we have always wanted to engage them more, and so we're excited to see where this may go. So if that speaks to some of your hearts, gentlemen, I want to know about that too, and feel free to explore that training or just come and talk to me. The last thing I want to share about is something dear to my heart. One of the key programs that we have offered for many years is a healing program, specifically for women and sometimes men who've experienced abortion. For a few years, we didn't have a healing programs director, and now we do, so that's a blessing. And she is looking at starting up a Hope for Healing group that's specifically for women who've experienced abortion. But we've also added another offering that we have been doing, I guess, for the last several months called Trauma Reboot. Some of you may be familiar with Reboot Recovery, Reboot Combat Recovery. It's a 12-week course that walks people who have experienced trauma through some steps to sort of unpack that and come to terms with what has occurred, expose it to the light of the Holy Spirit, and find a way to live with peace and hope after trauma. We right now are offering this course specifically for women, and it can be any trauma. It could be an abortion experience, a miscarriage. It could be from childhood. It could be from a relationship. It could be far distant or currently occurring. We have watched some ladies of many different ages walk through this course and really just find the hope that they had been looking for. We know Jesus, and we know Jesus saves, and we know he heals, but sometimes we don't know how to access that healing and apply it to the day-to-day, and so Trauma Reboot is a way to do that. I have some flyers about our next course that's starting in February, and if you're interested in that, please come grab one or come talk to me. We're filling up those seats, and we would love for you to be a part. So I want to encourage you. You know, it's been a crazy couple of years, and I know we've adapted in many ways. I know we have at the center. But even in the midst of difficult seasons, God is good, and he is present all the time. That's right. And sometimes it's in those darkest times that he's most obvious if we look for him. And so be encouraged by that. We are seeing God work and move at Hope Pregnancy Center in very exciting ways. And I would love to talk more with you about that. I could talk all day about it, actually. But I know that we have other things to focus on this morning. And if it's all right, I'd just like to pray for you, and then I'll hand the microphone back. Father God, thank you so much for who you are, Lord, for how you love us, and for being a God who creates life on purpose for a purpose. Lord, I pray that often, but I'm so grateful for that. You love us in powerful ways, and you love through us in powerful ways. And so, Lord, I speak a blessing over this church that is dedicated to you and going the second mile. It's right in their name. Lord, and I pray that if there are some among us that you're calling to partner with Hope Pregnancy Center in a new way, I pray that you'd give them courage to respond. Thank you for their heart and their desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Martha. Yes, let's give a round of applause. All right, right now we've got some of these baby bottles down here, and those are prayers. They've got little children's names on them. Those are prayer bottles. Where's
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful morning you have supplied us. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, and a lot of times we're not thankful enough. And today I just want to thank you for everything you've done for each and every one of us. And I want to thank you for the Hope Pregnancy Center and what they do, dear Lord. Lord, I would like to bless each and every one of these bottles today that we take and fill with money so they can fund the Hope Pregnancy Center. And dear Lord, I ask you to, you know what's on each one of our hearts today. We all have something on our hearts. See what's in our heart today, dear Lord. And I ask you to lift up Ukraine right now and the uncertainty of what's going on over there, dear Lord. And Lord, I lift up Brother Cal this morning as he brings the message. And I lift up Billy Walker as he brings the Sunday school lesson, dear Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
God bless you all. You know, this is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And most of you all in here are probably pro-life. But being pro-life means a lot more than just being anti-abortion. We are pro-life all through life, from the womb to the tomb. And we care for our loved ones in a great way when they pass away. And so I want to read a card we got from the family of D. Brock. We love the Brock family, and just with you all in your time of grief and mourning. It says, "Dear Second Milers, thank you for your love and kindness in the passing of my mother. Thanks for the prayers, cards, flowers, and food. We appreciate our Second Mile family. God bless you, Sam and Susan Brock." And some of the other family is here this morning as well. We love you guys, and we're praying for you. And I want to tell you what, you're going to need a church family. You are going to need a church family sometime. And we'd love to be your church family. Well, I guess we would. Most of us would, wouldn't we? Huh? All right. This is a little bit different Sunday, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We're going to return next week to our sermon series on prayer and fasting. And I want to thank you all for the testimonies I've been hearing about January being a month of prayer and fasting. And Brother Andrew and I are going to put together a great praise and prayer service first Sunday, probably in February. And so you get those testimonies ready as to what God showed you and shared with you during the month of January, during your time of fasting and praying and seeking God's leadership in your life. So we're looking forward to that. But this morning, we're going to be in Jeremiah. We're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. And we'll be preaching on the subject of the God of life. The God of life. You'll be finding Jeremiah 1:5, and then we're going to move on from there. But as you're finding that verse of Scripture, these are the best of times, and yet they're the worst of times. This week is the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade that legalized abortion on demand. That date was January 22nd, 1973. You know, in World War II, there were over 6 million Jews slaughtered, killed by Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime. We call that the Holocaust. Probably the greatest class I had in seminary was on the Holocaust. I learned so much about it. And the Holocaust was a blight on human history. But there's been another Holocaust going on for the last 49 years. 49 years. And I want you to try to wrap your mind around this number. Since January the 22nd of 1973, 64 million unborn babies have been aborted in this country by their mothers and their doctors. 64 million. That's 10 times the number of Jewish people who were killed in World War II. That's more people combined that live in the cities of New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, St. Louis, Detroit, Philadelphia, Chicago, Atlanta, and Dallas. That's a whole nation of people. 64 million. 64 million. God help us. And I'm praying that the message this morning might save at least one. At least one. Y'all may have heard the story about the old fellow after the storm down on the beach. After the storm that night on the beach, this old fellow was walking along and he saw thousands of starfish that had washed up on the beach. And you know, a starfish has to have water. And so he just made the decision to try to save those starfish, thousands of them. And he started one by one just taking those starfish and throwing them back in the ocean as he went along. This little boy saw what this old fellow was doing and he walked up to him and he said, "Sir, what are you doing? There's thousands of these starfish. There's no way you can save all of them. What difference does it make?" And the old man looked at the little boy and he said, picked up a starfish, threw it back in the ocean, and said it made a difference to that one. I'm praying that this morning, it'll make a difference in at least one life. Stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. Jeremiah 1:5, we're going to start here and then we're going to move to some other passages. Man, listen to this verse of Scripture. Woo! I'll start at verse 4. Jeremiah 1:4 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Father, make this truth real to our hearts today, that you are a God of life and that we ought to be a people of life, a nation of life. Oh God, seal this truth. Make it real to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to take a look at God's Word this morning. And, you know, life begins with God. And three truths I want to give you. If you got your sermon notes with you. First thing is, life is God's revelation. Life is God's revelation. All throughout the Word of God, we're told that God loves life and He is all about life. Human life is sacred. Now, if you've got your sermon notes there, I don't know, I must have been out in left field, but it's not Genesis 1:28, it's Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 9:6. But life is God's revelation. God has revealed to us that human life is sacred. Turn back with me to Genesis 1 and verse 27. I'll come back to verse 28 in a minute. Genesis 1:27. All right, you there? Come on, y'all. We got to get to lunch after a while. All right. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." And then jump over to chapter 9, Genesis 9, and look at verse 6. Genesis 9:6 says, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God He made man." And so what God's revealing to us here is that human life is sacred. It's special. Look at your neighbor and just tell them, "You're not a mistake." Now tell them, "You're a miracle. You're made in the image of God, brothers and sisters. Do you understand that? You are made in His image, His likeness. You got a mind, you got a soul, you got a spirit. Bless God, you're made like Him. You're not like an animal, although we act like animals sometimes. But you are special, you are sacred to God, because you're made in His image. He's the one who created life. And I don't care what anybody tells you, we make mistakes, but that baby is a miracle from God. Two adults, consenting adults, can make a mistake, but But there's no mistake in that womb. That little baby didn't have anything to do with that. And so life is sacred. You are special to God because you're made in His image. And every human being is made this way. I said every human being is made this way. In the image of God. You've got a mind, you've got a soul, you've got a spirit. That's what separates you from the animals and the plant life. Hello? You're special. Act like it. You are. So God has revealed that human life is sacred. And then back to our original verse, Jeremiah 1:5, life is sanctified. God has revealed to us that human life is sanctified. Your life was set apart specifically for God. Listen to this truth. God knows everything about you. And He loves you anyway. Yeah. Human life is sanctified. Before God even formed Jeremiah in his mama's womb, God knew him. Before you were even a thought on your mama's mind, God knew you. He knew everything about you. And He ordained, even before Jeremiah was ordained, he was set up. As a prophet, he was ordained by God, sanctified by God, created by God. Hallelujah. And can I just go ahead and tell you all? God's got a plan and a purpose for every single person in this room. He's got a purpose for your life. And He's had that purpose before you were ever born. And He knows everything there is to know about you and still wants to use us. Does that not blow you away? It does me. Sure does me. You are sanctified, set apart by God. And guys, I ran across this verse this week. Matthew 10:30 says that the numbers, God even knows the numbers of your hair. You know what that says to us, guys? He even knows the numbers of your hair that aren't there anymore. I've got more hairs growing on my eyebrows, my nose, boy, anyways. You are sanctified, set apart by God for His purposes, His plans. Y'all with me? Life is special. Life is sacred. Life is human life has been sanctified by God Himself. And so that's God's revelation. But there's a second thing here. Life is not only God's revelation, life is God's recommendation. Say amen. Amen. Now, let's go back to Genesis 1:28. Go back to Genesis 1:28. Man, I'm going to have to hurry. I got so much to say today. All right. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them. How many of you know that God has blessed you? Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And now jump over to Genesis 9 and verse 1. So God blessed Noah and his sons. And now, you remember, after the flood, it was just Noah and his family, just 8 people. And so He said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill all the earth." God recommends that man multiply. He believes in life. And you know, I've had some, not, I don't really want to say arguments, but strong discussion with some family members about this. I believe it's still God's plan for believers to multiply. I want you to just think with me for a minute. If Christian couples, believers, quit having children, how dark do you think this world would be in about 50 years? Huh? God expects us to raise godly children, to have children and to... Now, I know who I'm talking to here. There are some folks, even in our church, who can't have children. Well, bless God, you can help me raise mine. I need all the help. Me and Diana need all the help we can get. Go ahead and smile, baby. It's okay. We do. And how many of you know the Barnett family? Y'all are scared to let Mark know, I guess. They've got a boy named Tom and a sweet daughter-in-law named Stephanie. They couldn't have children, so guess what they did? They adopted a little baby girl, named her Brooklyn. Is that right? And I don't know, but if you want to, you know, get into adoption, just go out to the livestock yard. I think that's where all that took place, wasn't it, Mark? And so, you know, we ought to be involved in adoption agencies, not just Hope, you know, pregnancy centers, but we ought to be involved in life in that way too. Amen? And so God says, and God says that man ought to multiply, and especially for believers. All right? And then here's the second thing. Man, this is really... God recommends that man not murder. Now, murder is a different word from kill. I believe that there are some such a thing as called just war. And I believe in capital punishment in certain circumstances, like serial killers and people who are going to wipe out folks if they're given half a chance. You know, but for the most part, look at Exodus. Look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. This is one of the ten. You shall not your King James there says what? You shall not kill. The word is murder, not kill. The word is murder, okay? And then here's a verse that makes me shudder. It scares me. Look at Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6. There are seven sins listed here that God hates. They're an abomination to Him. Are you ready for this? Proverbs 6, 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. Here it is, verse 17. A proud look. A proud look. That means haughty eyes. A lying tongue. And here's the one that just... hands that shed innocent blood. Those Supreme Court justices will answer to God. And so will we as a nation. And then there's some others listed there, and I could preach a message on each one of those, but... God recommends that we not murder. Now, let me just kind of meddle for just a moment. Many of our pro-choice friends claim that that life doesn't really begin until birth. Well, if that's true, why are we trying to kill the baby in the mama's womb? And you know, they also claim that, you know, when... that baby is conceived, that it's nothing more than an embryo or a zygote. What is that? And then it doesn't even become a fetus until the first trimester. Well, if it's not human, what species is it? Animal life? Vegetable life? I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I'm not real sharp. I'm not real smart. But I can tell you this, when the sperm unites with the egg, boom, life begins. From that very moment, life begins to develop and grow into a baby, into a human being. That's what... can you tell I'm passionate about this? Somebody's got to take up for these unborn babies. Somebody's got to stand up for them. An unborn baby is a human life. Now, I thought about this too. Do you remember when Mary, you know, Mary was about 3 months pregnant with the Lord Jesus? You remember that? You remember reading about that? I know you weren't there, but she was about 3 months pregnant, and she had to get out of Nazareth because of the wagging tongues. But don't people love to gossip and talk? And so she decides to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. Remember that? And when they connected, and Mary must have said something like, "Hello, Liz. Who's Elizabeth pregnant with?" John the Baptist. And the Bible says when they connected, John the Baptist leaped in his mama's womb because he realized he was in supernaturally in the presence of Almighty God. You see, the Bible doesn't distinguish really between prenatal and postnatal. It just preaches and teaches life. So, God's recommendation is life. That we continue to multiply and that we not take life. Here's the last one. Life is God's regulation. Now, it's God who reigns and rules and regulates. There was a Major League Baseball game going on, Tad, and the home team had filled up the bases. And so this great hitter comes up. Two outs, bases loaded, and he smacks a line drive out to left field. Base hit. The runner on third scores easily. The runner on second is trying to get home with the winning run. And so he slides into home plate. Dust goes everywhere. The home plate umpire standing over the play, checking it out, looking at it, watching it. And everybody in the home field dugout begins to shout, "He's safe! He's safe! He's safe!" But of course, everybody over in the visitor's dugout standing, "He's out! He's out! He's out!" And then the umpire stood up and looked at both dugouts and said, "He ain't nothing till I make the call." It really doesn't matter what I think or what I say. It really doesn't matter what you think or you say about this issue. God is the one who makes the call. Can I get a witness? Give God some praise. Amen. So, I think we looked at this verse last year, and I'll hurry. Psalm 139. This is my wife's favorite passage in the book of Psalms. It's a great passage of life. Psalm 139. Y'all go there with me? Have y'all gotten lazy and just looking up at Ellen's stuff? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. It's good to be able to get around in your Bible. Amen? All right. Psalm 139. Look at verse 13. "For you," that's psalmist is talking to the Lord here. "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me." And that word "covered" there means wove, to knit. "You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I told you that you weren't some mistake. You're a miracle from God. "Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." God is the one who ultimately and is intimately involved in the life of a human being. The word "members" there in verse 16 in your King James Bible can be paraphrased DNA. Did you know that you've got enough DNA? If it was all strung together, it'd go to the moon and back. That's how much information is in those cells of DNA that God was intimately in. He's the one who strung together those chromosomes that you have and made you who you are. And God doesn't make any junk. God doesn't make any mistakes. We do, but he doesn't. I like what Isaiah 64:8 says, we are the work of his hands. You're God's masterpiece. You're God's work of art. He has made you. You are made fearfully and wonderfully. You are special to him. And when we reject God's revelation, his recommendation and regulation of life, we get to the point of playing God ourselves. When we get to the point where we say, well, this is a wanted pregnancy, this is an unwanted pregnancy. When we get to the point, this is a healthy baby, this is an unhealthy baby. When we even get to the point where we say, this is a productive senior adult, and this is an unproductive senior adult. It's time for us to do away with that. We're playing God. God is a God of life from the womb all the way to the tomb. He's interested in your life. He loves you. Now, let me just, I've got some stats I want to share with you here in closing. Let me tell you, the abortion industry and Planned Parenthood and all that, it's big business. They generated $229 billion last year. Big business. Folks are getting filthy rich off abortion. A doctor, an abortion doctor, working just two and a half days a week. You know how much income he gets from that? $104,000 a year. I think there's like 8,000 abortion clinics, Martha, something like that. And they're all making millions of dollars. A first trimester abortion on average is about $500, but it goes up dramatically from there. Now, I will say this. Back in the 70s and 80s, we were aborting about 2 million babies a year. Last year, that figure dropped to, I think, 880,000. And so we're headed in a better direction. But I want to tell you, one's too many. One is too many. And I want to say this. 95% of all abortions are abortions of convenience. What I mean by that, less than 5% of abortions are done because of rape, incest, or the health of the mother or the baby. Less than 5%. Excuse me. Now, I want to say a word. In a congregation this size, there are some ladies here, maybe years ago, and you got some wrong information, bad information. You were scared. You were all alone. And you wound up pregnant. And you had an abortion. And you've got guilt and you've got shame and you've got pain. Let me just tell you. My Bible tells me that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Every single one of them. And if you'll confess and repent, God will forgive you. And thank God for our pregnancy centers. They're providing counseling for women. And by the way, you're going to see that child again. Your child's with Jesus. Hallelujah. And so here's what we need to do today. We need to get involved. They need volunteers. Some of these other organizations, adoption agencies, we need to be involved. Oh, what's he going to ask us to do now? I'm going to let God do that. He's the one. And I feel so bad for the women. I've talked to a lot of these ladies who've had gone down that path, and man, they're still carrying around emotional baggage. But we somehow need to get involved in this issue. And this was 14 and a half years ago. What was that funeral home director's name, Shan?
Vanderwall.
We buried at Shan's dad's funeral, Billy Frank Smith. What a great guy. And we took him all the way back to Ray County over in East Tennessee to bury him. And I followed Shan and Susan down to the funeral home. And I rode to the cemetery with the funeral home director, Mr. Vanderwall. And we were coming into the funeral, and I noticed all of these crosses, small little white fluorescent crosses glowing like the sun over on the hillside. There's thousands of them. And I said, what is all this up here? It looks like Arlington Cemetery. He said, we decided to do something about this issue that we've been talking about this morning. He said, there's a hospital here in Ray County, just down below Dayton, Tennessee. And they have an abortion clinic in the hospital. And he said, we found out that they were just taking those babies, throwing them in the trash, in the dumpster, da-da-da-da-da-da. And he said, what we decided to do is we called them and said, please let us have those babies that have been aborted. Some of them just, 6 weeks old. Thank God for those ultrasound machines, too. Y'all know that you can detect a baby's heartbeat when it's just 6 weeks old or less. And so what that funeral home director, at their own expense, every day would go down to the hospital and pick up those aborted babies and take them back to the cemetery and provide a proper funeral and burial and paid for those crosses. God's a God of life. How can we be involved in life? By the way, wasn't it Jesus himself who said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full, abundantly? We're a people of life. We believe in life. And I want to make sure. Now, I can just tell by looking at you all, y'all have got physical life. But do you have spiritual life? You see, our spirits are dead until Jesus Christ makes us alive through his Spirit. And if today, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, you're out of God's will. He wants you to have life. How do you get that? By making a spiritual U-turn, by turning from your sin, confessing and repenting, and turning to Christ, surrendering to him, giving him everything that you are to everything that he is. The Bible says simply by calling on his name. You see, it's not about praying the exact prayer and work. It's your heart. And if you're willing today to turn from your sin and turn to Christ as your only means of salvation and call on him to save you, he will save you right here today. And you'll begin a brand new life. Start something brand new. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your grace. Not a one of us in here that deserve your grace, but you've given it to us over and over and over again. And Father, I know deep down in my spirit, there's some people here who need to be forgiven. There's some folks here who need to be released from those shackles and chains of bondage, from all that guilt and shame and pain and embarrassment. I pray today, God, that you'd set the captives free. And Lord, there are others who are right here in their seats, right now they're praying and asking you to save their souls and give them life everlasting. I pray that you use this time of response and invitation for your glory. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Here's what the invitation's all about. Don't miss this. Watch this. Lean in. Everybody listen to me. The altar now is open. This deal, this abortion mess has touched every family in this room. And you need to come openly, publicly, and just confess and pray and seek God's leadership. Maybe there's somebody in your family you need to pray for. This is a great place to do that. And then those of you who prayed to receive Christ, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. You can't be a private believer. You got to go public with him. He's given you a brand new life. Now you need to let everybody else know. And you just need to come, and I'll share with you how you can get started, get some materials in your hand. We need to see somebody saved today. Let's all stand. Altar's open. Y'all come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.